how to get 7 income streams fast and why you need to. This is Cody, and this is another episode of Contrarian Thinking. The average millionaire has 7 streams. The average American, they have 1. Yikes. So this week we thought we'd talk about how to get 7 figures in 7 income streams in 1 year. Doesn't that just kind of roll off the tongue? The part that I think is perhaps most intriguing is that if you would have asked 25-year-old Cody, I never would have thought about using this process. I was so focused on increasing earnings and so unthoughtful on increasing assets. It's incredible how much you can grow and change in 10 years. Never forget that. Now, if you're ready to add your income stack, we created cash flow for you to add a new income stream each month. Each month, we do a deep dive on a new asset class or investment for you to pursue. So far, we have 12. Get all the playbooks now. Click here. All right, in 10 minutes or less, we're going to cover the problem of silencing and the power of voice, why one income stream is a death sentence today, and 7 steps to 7 income streams in 12 months. Now, rant. Future silencing, dangerous and imminent. But before we get into the income streams, let me tell you why this is my largest focus today and an argument for you to ponder the same path. It revolves around 2 words, free speech. And you know, y'all know how much I love free anything, except free gluten. I'm gluten-free, so keep the gluten and give me a voice instead. Now, this week was odd. I was on vacation, tropical paradising, during which I slowed while the world continued to run. Vacations are a glorious reminder of the fact that the world does not, in fact, need any of us. We are as grains of sand to an ever-flowing beach. Here, relatively unremarkable, replaceable, and forgettable. I'm sure fun to have at a dinner party, aren't I? Now, morbid thoughts on our fleeting lifespan as aside, this week I had that scarily beautiful thing on my hands, a bit of time. With it, I perused what the world deemed the most important news according to all of my feeds. Joe Rogan, Spotify, and Neil Young. It sort of reads like a joke. A former reality star turned comedian and a rock star past his prime walk into a bar. Now, for those of you who know me, you know I stand by this saying as the entire reason I began Contrarian Thinking. I may disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. As a former journalist turned investor, I know there is only one thing more powerful than money, words. Most look to control the price of things, while the pros know it is best to control the terms. That is to say, control the language, control everything. Thus, I find what is happening to Joe Rogan to be troubling, to say the least. I have no loyalty to the man. I surely do not agree with him on many fronts, and yet, when we start virtue signaling what we can or cannot be said by comedians of all people, who is safe? Who or what is next? Let's call canceling what it really is, silencing. Joe does not need more money, sponsors, or fame, but it's not really about Joe. There's something more dangerous than what happens to him, much more dangerous. It is what happens to the next, I don't know, Joanne, who is now in her 20s watching this show from the sidelines. Future silencing is this idea that if the most popular podcaster in the world can be brought to his knees for questioning the narrative, what does that tell the next generation? What does that tell the up-and-comers? What does it tell those poor youngsters full of half-baked ideas their future selves will think are ridiculous and even horribly wrong or embarrassing? It says, do not question anything. Do not let your ideas play in the arena to see if they can fight to the death. Instead, stay quiet. Stay agreeable with the norm. Bring nothing new. Because you may be wrong, you may err, times may change, context may be excluded, and that would be dangerous. Your evolved adult self will be demonized for your idiotic younger self. Your airing of views that not all agree with means you will not be able to air any ideas. What happens if we are not growing and debating and innovating? We begin to atrophy or to die. I don't really care about Joe per se. I care about all the ideas yet to come from those who are observing this takedown. Without risk takers, the world as we know it wouldn't exist. Without strong, argued, loosely held beliefs, we'd never grow. So when that tingle of affront and anger hits, when you feel you have to cancel or silence another, why don't you instead think to create a counter argument? Battle them with your own ideas. If your argument is better, it will win. If it is not better, it doesn't deserve to win. But do not ask for another's hands to be tied behind their back so yours can succeed in punching them in the face. Be better. Don't expect someone else to be quieter. 7 income streams, a how-to. The biggest path to freedom, as we can tell from Joe, is having no one singular master. Spotify is like an income stream. Single income streams can be ripped out from underneath you. Here's the path I would take to ensure that no matter your opinion, your job performance, your health status, you can keep on earning. Part 1. Start with a platform acquisition. The wrong way to get to 7 income streams, go off and open 7 new businesses at once. The likelihood of failure is incredibly high. Instead, what would I do? I'd buy a platform business you can add on to. You use loans and SBA to put down minimal cash on the rear, we'll talk about more of that. Let's say it's a laundromat, to keep the example easy. There's some notes and links in here about how you can go buying and valuing them, but the quick suggestion is to save that for the end before you go rereading. Let's imagine your deal goes something like this. First laundromat deal, $67,000 in profit, 0 to 15% down for the purchase price of $100K. Use $100K in seller financing using future sales to pay off owner. Finance down payment with equipment loans on machines. Those are variable. Maybe the laundromat costs you $150K. Maybe the laundromat costs you 50% down. All of those can vary. Now, you have a laundromat under your belt and your first additional income stream. That equals a profit of $67,000 and one income stream. Part two, an add-on acquisition. Now it's time to add your second stream. I'd get the first 30 days of operations under my belt, and then I'd probably add in a series of vending machines at my location first. Think snack vending, soap vending, toy vending for kids, followed by perhaps a few other vending machines in your local shopping center, since you'll be servicing anyway for your laundromat. Perhaps you even do a 1 mile radius so your laundromat operator can operate both of them. Now you have $67,000 in profit from a laundromat, then $50,000 in profit from vending machines in multiple locations. Let's say total income, 117,000, streams two. Part three, vertical acquisition. Now your laundromat fully operational. You may be 90 days out, and as you grow the business, you get to know your competitors and other operators. In your conversation, you find Bob. He's run his laundromat for 20 years, and Austin has just gotten too busy. He wants to move out to the country, so you ask him if he'd like to sell you his laundromat. He says, well, I reckon I might. So you use seller financing to pay from his future profits for you to buy his business. You send Bob a nice monthly check and plan to pay him off completely in 3 years while he doesn't have to work but still gets paid a check every month. This was a bigger, more established laundromat and wash and fold service, making $300,000 in profit because you know the game a bit better now. So your income now jumps to $417,000, income stream three. All right. Part four, asset acquisition, machines. Now, after Bob teaches you the ins and outs of his laundromat, you realize, man, your laundromat could have more capacity for more machines and be more profitable. So you shop around to see if anyone wants to sell you some used machines. After all, China has waylaid a lot of the supply chain. A broker you've gotten to know says another store is going under, so you could buy their equipment for pennies on the dollar. Now, with your increased capacity, you have another $50K per year. Income, $467,000. Income stream count, four. Part five, satellite acquisition, delivery. Now, laundromats are great and passive, but you're aggressive and you want to grow. You want more margin and higher end customers. So you purchase a van delivery fleet from another company, add a wash and fold service, and now you have another $250K in income from this service add-on. Total income, $717,000. Income stream count, five. Part six, horizontal acquisition, products. One of my favorite ways to diversify my income streams is what I call a P&L review. I look at all the things I spend money on, and I figure out how can I turn my costs into profits. So you start to think about one of the biggest costs in laundry, soap. Why not buy a mixer of commercial grade soap, brand it, bottle it, cut costs 30 to 50%, then go sell to your competitors as well under a different name. So you buy that business and do the same, or you partner on it and take a revenue share and affiliate fee. Let's say that's another $200K per year. Income, $917,000. Income stream, six. Part seven, hard asset acquisition, real estate. So you have a little budding business empire doing $917K in profit, and hopefully more if you're growing all the underlying divisions and companies. Your biggest expense besides labor is probably your leases and real estate. Why not buy your strip mall and be a landlord to your businesses in tandem with all the write-offs, depreciation, and tax benefits that come with real estate? That deal equals another $100K in profit. Now you're sitting at $1,017,000 in profit and income streams seven. The moral of this here story, you could spend months or years trying to start a business from scratch, and you might still end up at zero after all that effort. The fail rate of startups is incredibly high. Or you could attempt to do this all with passive investing in the stock markets. The returns would take some time or a lot of money and luck. But maybe there's another path, buying an existing business. It's already set up, customers, employees, systems. You can do it. Now, you have to think about the voices in your head. I can already see the comments saying, yeah, but that's so expensive. You'll need to invest millions. Not always true. Many businesses can be bought with little money down or even zero. Although, I always hate saying that line because it feels like a used car salesman. Little to no money down. Anyway, it's called seller financing. It allows you to put down part of the purchase and then pay the seller over time with a percentage of the revenue. There are thousands of businesses for sale in the U.S. right now. Over 10,000 baby boomers retire every single day. Many own businesses. Now you've got your seven income streams right here in front of you. What's next? You have more cash flow that can help you buy even more businesses or scale the ones you have. We use laundromats as an easy example, but there's much better options with higher ROI. The lesson? Free men create more, take more risks, build more, grow more, and give more. Make yourself a free human and see what happens. Question everything and see you next week. Also, if you haven't checked in the bottom, we started a new section called Favorite Things. Some of you guys asked how we've run this here ship at Contrarian Thinking, so we included this. I hope you find it useful.